welcome to the Ted and Austin Brower Show for this Friday. Austin's off today. He's having some rest issues right now. He's getting some well-needed rest. Some issues, I guess, with rest. I guess he's taking a vacation day. And Dave Hodges is my guest today. We're going to be talking about all kinds of world news today, plus Dave's take on what happened in Orlando. And plus, we're going to talk about Dave a little bit, too, because he's had some blood sugar issues that we've been working with him on, and they're getting much, much better. So, Dave, good to have you with us, bud.
Well, it's always great to be with you, my friend.
And let me kind of fill them in real quick. You called me up a couple of weeks ago, and you were having some issues with you going to the bathroom at night too often. And I said, well, we can fix that. That's easy to fix. So we fixed that. And then I said, by the way, while you're at it, you know, how are your blood sugars doing? Because you told me you had lost some weight. And you said they were over, you went and had them tested, and they were over 400. And so now we got you started on the, basically, the Hagman blood sugar protocol. God, we're like a trio here. The Hagman blood sugar protocol. And we've got your blood sugar under 200 in just a couple of weeks, if that's correct, without taking any drugs whatsoever. Is that about right, Dave?
No, that's exactly right. In fact, I do want to get a kidney function test done at some time, but before I visit the doctor, I want these blood sugar levels down in the normal range. And, Ted, I should mention this, too. Not only did I have the blood sugar issues, my resting pulse went to 106. And I'm happy to report today, I have my report on my handy Fitbit, and over the last week, my resting pulse has averaged between 68 and 72. So that problem's been taken care of, and the horrible frequent urination, I mean, it was off the charts. I'm down to normal amounts now. So in most of the vital measures that I have, I'm in the normal range now, with the exception of the blood sugar, but we've got that moving in the right direction, too.
Well, and that's the same thing with Doug. And see, what I always tell people is this, and I sent a little email to you reflecting this the other day, that this is a long-term process of changing your behavioral patterns that cause the problems with the elevated blood sugar to begin with. And what folks don't realize is when you try to control adult-onset high blood sugar by yourself, you know, by changing your diet and taking the proper supplements, you can do that, but it requires a change for what you did to cause the condition. And people need to understand that that's very, very important. It's like this. If you've got a problem with being overweight and you lose 100 pounds, if you start eating the way you ate to gain that 100 pounds to begin with, you'll gain that 100 pounds back. The same thing with blood sugar. If you've got a problem with elevated blood sugar, and you're, we call it Syndrome X as you get older, they also refer to it as adult onset diabetes. If you've got a problem with that, invariably it's because of high fructose corn syrup, because of diet, from the lack of exercise, lack of proper water, lack of proper thyroid function because you get too much iodine, fluorine, and bromine in your diet. A lot of things affect all of this at the same time, so it's really, really important that you look at it from a complete lifestyle change. That's why when you order the Hagman blood sugar protocol, we send you a complete description of what your diet should look like and what you need to cut out of your diet, because a lot of people don't realize, Dave, that white potatoes will turn to sugar more quickly in the blood and the body than table sugar will. It's got a higher glycemic index. So everybody's got to understand, if you eat the same foods that cause you to get high blood sugar to begin with, even if you correct it by changing your diet, if you go back to the old diet, the sugar just goes right back up again. So it's a long-term process that you have to follow, and it has to become a lifestyle, and it can no longer be a diet. It's just, this is the way I eat now. That's how I look at it. I mean, I always try to maintain my weight, you know, between 189 and 199. And now I'm a little bit, I'm at 197, so I'm up about 8 pounds. So I'm getting really careful now with my diet, because I eat real clean anyhow, and I'm bringing my weight back down about 8 pounds, which shouldn't take me but about a month. But that's the whole thing, is I always eat clean. I just have to reduce the amounts I eat, and I have to make sure I don't eat after like 6 p.m. at night, and then I just, the weight just automatically drops back off again. It's just, again, a lifestyle, not a diet. That's what people need to understand. When you do anything from a natural standpoint, it has to be a lifestyle change. If women have a problem with altered immune systems or with breast cancer, it's super important, if they're working with their doctors and treating the cancer, that they get all the trans fats and hydrogenated oils out of their diet, all the coffee out of their diet, and they need to be taking at least 12.5 milligrams of potassium iodide every day, and vitamin D3, at least 5,000 to 10,000 IUs, depending on their D levels. Those things have to be monitored in a healthy lifestyle supplement program when you're doing that. Anything else you want to add about the blood sugar stuff, Dave?
Well, it's just, we're moving in the right direction, and this isn't the first time that Dr. Ted Brower has come to my rescue. I was a bit, just about a year ago, Ted, when I contacted you and said, hey, my MCL, and they want to come after it, my knee, and do knee surgery. And he said, no, no, let's try this other stuff. And I was limping pretty good. I had a noticeable limp, and obviously this was wear and tear from all the years of playing sports. And within 2 weeks, I didn't have a limp. I was back to doing what I wanted to do, and I avoided the surgeon's knife. So this isn't the first time, so obviously I swear by health masters. In fact, you know, I probably, I don't know if I can get away with saying this on the air, but I'll go to health masters and use their products before I'll consult with a physician.
Wow.
I'll see if I can't find natural solutions to what I'm doing, just because I've had good success.
Well, and you remember when you had the remember about 5 months ago, 4 months ago, when you had that chemtrail flu and you couldn't shake it? And I said, I can take care of that, Dave. And I sent you a whole package of stuff next day air. You had it the following, you know, like 24 hours, and you started taking that, and you started immediately recovering. See, it's the immune system protocol, the Hodges healthy joint protocol, the Hagman healthy blood sugar protocol, or you don't want to call it protocol, you can call it support systems if you'd like, along combining with lifestyle change, exercise, and dieting. I tell you what, guys, it makes a huge difference. Now, but Dave, let's talk about what your take is, what happened with Orlando last week. I didn't get a chance to talk to you about that very much yesterday. What do you think happened? Do you think this is another false flag? Do you think this is part of what Clinton's doing? Do you think this man's son, who's involved wanting to run for the presidency of Iraq or of Afghanistan, was involved in any of this? I mean, what is going on? Is this Mossad, CIA again? What is this?
Well, to go to Mossad, I don't know. I don't have that information. But I will tell you, there's no question this is the same worn-out drama that the government's used forever, and that's a lone assassin, you know, with clear intent of what he was going to do. And, oh, he's an ISIS lone wolf. There is no such thing. And not one man could not do this shooting. And I've deferred to military experts, including a relative of mine who was a sniper in the Marine Corps. And I'll tell you one thing right now, Ted. There were several shooters. There had to be.
Well, no, we have eyewitness reports now of that. In fact, one of them said there was up to four. And what's interesting about this is, see, this wasn't a firing squad line. These people weren't lined up against the wall with one guy shooting them as they stood there. These guys were running and flailing and hiding. And the primary shooting with the multiple weapons occurred within an 8 minute time span. And see, people don't understand, it wasn't like there wasn't any shooting going on when they were doing the hostage standoff. So, the reality is the government, the Department of Homeland Security, has already gotten involved in this. They're freezing all of the information. They won't even turn loose the 911 calls. And so, yeah, it's another big cover-up of what's going on. And they're saying now that these guys, these hostages, are saying that they're trying not to scare the public to think that these assassins are still running around, and that's why they're not telling us that. So I don't know, Dave. The whole thing's just another big mess as far as I'm concerned.
Well, it even goes deeper, though. It goes back to Hillary Clinton. And it's interesting, the morning that I broke this story, and I was getting record numbers on my website in the morning, my website went down in the most unusual way. In fact, let me tell that story before I get into the revelation about Mateen's workplace and who owns his company. But very quickly, I called my webmaster and I said, I'm getting reports around the country from various people that they're getting a 524 error code and they can't load the site. Yet I could see everything just fine. My webmaster couldn't. My site provider, who hosts my site at NitroHost, he could see everything fine. They ran all kinds of diagnostic tests. So these two men, with a couple of decades each of experience in this area, and they host some of the biggest websites in the world, including Steve Quayle, and they couldn't find what was wrong. It took them 10 hours to track this down, and it was a communication uplink in Denver run by Cloudflare, and they gave some real bogus explanation. But here's the problem. Dave Hodges in the Common Sense Show was the only one affected by this, and my webmaster serves multiple people, as does my website provider, and they would use the same kind of communications link, so why would I be the only one that was taken down? Surprise, surprise, and it ties right into what I'm going to tell you right now. The company that Mateen worked for, the alleged lone shooter, as we like to say, it's owned by Wackenhut. And Wackenhut does snatch and grab at the border of OTMs, that's other than Mexicans, including people from the Middle East. So they're actively involved in the transport of terrorists into this country. And the reason I can legally get away with saying that is is because the FBI says given any Muslim population, 10% of them at least are going to be radicalized. So you know damn good and well that they're bringing terrorists into the country. And that is who owns the company that Mateen worked for. But it gets worse. Mateen belonged to this mosque in Fort Pierce, Florida. And the reason the FBI investigated him the first two of three times was because of his affiliations with various terrorists that had been associated with this mosque. The third time he was tied to a terrorist who'd blown himself up in terrorism and a suicide bombing is part of ISIS. There's your ISIS connection. And they were known to be close colleagues. And yet the FBI, without explanation, dropped the investigation on the third interview, which I believe was 2015. But listen to this, Ted. This is the remarkable thing. When we go back to Hillary Clinton's installation of policies for handling Muslim terrorism, Fort Pierce Mosque was off limits. That's why the FBI had to drop the investigation of Omar Mateen. They had him in their grasp, and it was Hillary Clinton who suborns terrorism that's responsible for what happened. And I think she should be charged as an accomplice to these murders.
Wow, Dave, that just doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise my listeners. I know it doesn't surprise your listeners. When she was head of the State Department, the stuff that she got involved with, I mean, after Benghazi, nobody is surprised with anything that happens from this administration. Look at all the false flags we've had since 2008, all trying to bring back in that weapons assault ban again, and also trying to, you know, continue to curtail our Second Amendment rights. I mean, Obama's had the bloodiest administration in the history of the White House as far as terrorist attacks, other than 9/11. I mean, and other than Pearl Harbor. I mean, of course, Pearl Harbor wasn't a terrorist attack. It was basically a prelude to war. So it's kind of interesting with all that. But what do you see happening with this, Dave? Are they going to continue just to spin the narrative from the mainstream media, this is just a lone nutbag doing this, or are they going to actually have to come forward and start giving some information out, since so many newspapers have requested the 9/11 phone calls?
Well, yeah, let's talk about the political reality. I wrote about this morning. Department of Homeland Security Jay Johnson came out and said it's now the primary mission of DHS to remove guns from Americans. And I'm paraphrasing, but that's effectively what he's saying. And I wrote an article which said that when they come for your guns, they'll soon come for you. And that's exactly what history shows. The University of Hawaii ran a long-term project called the Democide Project. Democide is a term meaning death by government. It totaled in the 20th century 262 million people killed by their own government, which far outreached any combination of wars that took place in the 20th century. So your government is your biggest enemy. And Thomas Jefferson and all the founding fathers talked about this. They were all fearful of powerful government, which is why they developed federalism, the 10th Amendment, and so forth. And what's happening now is we have an agency, which is an administrative arm of the Obama Executive Department, acting like they have the right to make law. They're not Congress. They can't tell us what guns we can and cannot have. But this is what Jay Johnson insinuates that he's going to start doing. So to answer to your question, Ted, the political realities scare me. They're coming for the guns. And I'm telling you, you mark my words on this, because John Kerry signed the UN Small Arms Treaty. The UN is going to be the active enforcement agency. And that new movie starring Gary Haven was the producer, called Armageddon, captured this. I was one of the three reviewers for the movie, which opened third in the country back in early June. In fact, Gary's going to be my guest this Sunday night, and we're going to talk about how the movie's doing now. But that movie captured that. The UN troops were using foreign operatives in this movie, as well as U.S. soldiers, to take our guns, and I'm telling you, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Well, yeah, I tried to find that movie here locally. It wasn't in broad release. Is it going to make it in broad release, or do you know?
Yeah, they're going to do a re-release. I believe it's early July. In fact, Gary will talk about that when he's on my show this Sunday evening.
How many theaters have they picked up now? Do you have any idea?
No, I don't know that. That'll come out in the interview, and then I'm going to write a follow-up piece about that. But they know they had limited release. They had a lot of political opposition to what they were doing, obviously.
Well, same thing with the movie Vaxxed, the one that Robert De Niro, banned from being shown at the Tribeca Film Festival, which later he regretted having done that. it basically has had only limited release in major cities around the country and only for very short periods of time, trying to prevent a large percentage of the population from seeing it. It was released in Orlando, but when I found out about it, it was like the last day of it being there, and so I couldn't go see it. So it's very, very frustrating. But here's another article I want to ask about with Iraq. This is from Anti-War. It says, while the Iraqi government made a big deal over the weekend of arresting some members of their allied Shiite militias for kidnapping, torturing, and killing refugees from ISIS-held Fallujah, the problem appears to be growing, with the Iraq military itself now reportedly rounding up people on the same pretext as the militias were and shipping them into detention centers or concentration camps, just like the militias were. Civilians at a refugee camp in Fallujah said that there is a growing despair over the fate of the hundreds of men who have disappeared while trying to flee that area of the government, and many have been tortured, and many of them are dying with their wounds. What is going on right now in Iraq? I mean, who's doing this, Dave?
Well, it's covert forces sponsored by the U.S. government, and we like to play both sides against the middle. When I had, I've had a number of guests on my show that have documented beyond a question that we started ISIS, we fund ISIS. Hillary Clinton was at the center of this, as well as Barack Obama. We left behind military equipment that they inherited, and that's how they got their start. But we're funding them through Swiss bank accounts, and I've covered this on my website, on my radio show ad nauseum. And they're covering both sides. They're covering both sides of the conflict because it's about making money, and it's about carrying out certain political games to get what they want. It's not like white hats and black hats, Ted. If people look at this way, they're going to get confused. It's whatever brings the almighty dollar in. I mean, I'll give you an example. Hillary Clinton is having the BLM go on to ranchers' lands like the Bundys. They're extracting materials like uranium and then selling it to the Russians. That's nuclear material to the Russians, and we're in a cold war with Russia right now that could end in a hot war very easily. Hillary Clinton is a traitor. We executed the Rosenbergs in the 1950s for doing less when they sold nuclear secrets to the Russians, and Hillary Clinton is doing this openly. I mean, this is everywhere. The corruption playing both sides against the middle. Hillary Clinton has to be an agent of the KGB because she's supplying Putin with material that could be used against Americans in a military strike. Ted, this is crazy what we're living in right now. And I hope people will investigate what I've said. If you just go to my website and do some search engine searches there, and all you have to do is put in a few key terms, Hillary Clinton, Uranium One, Uranium to the Russians, and you'll see that I'm not the source of this information. The New York Times was the original source. We need to share this information with everyone who is out there, because the most dangerous thing that's facing America today is a Hillary Clinton presidency. It's not being nuked by the Russians or taken over by the Chinese or gun confiscation. Those are serious issues. But the number one threat facing America today is letting this mad woman into the White House.
I agree, Dave. Here's another article. This is crazy. This is from the Free Thought Project. Cheney, Rothschild, and Fox News' Murdoch have begun drilling for oil in Syria, a violation of international law. After concluding the flow testing phase, AFEC Oil and Gas will now begin analyzing samples drawn from the drilling site in the Israeli-occupied region of Syria known as Golan Heights. New Jersey Energy LTD, AFEC's parent company, claims a dubious cadre of investors, war profiteers, including Murdoch, Dick Cheney, Lord Jacob Rothschild, and James Woolsey, as well as a number of current and former U.S. politicians. Prior testing is separate. AFEC site did not meet expectations, so the company sought other sweet spots. What the heck is going on over here in these Golan Heights right now, and they're drilling for oil? Apparently, is this a violation of international law or not, Dave?
It depends whose law you're looking at. If you're looking at UN law, and if you're looking at law that's coming out of The Hague, I would say it's clearly a violation. I mean, you have to remember the Israelis got the Golan Heights in a previous war against combined nations of the Middle East. And I'll be honest with you, if I was the leader in Israel, I wouldn't give up the Golan Heights either because of the military strategic advantage. But when they allow these criminals from the global elite to come in and start taking natural resources out, yeah, I draw the line. But see, this is no different than what we did in Iraq. And this is something that was well known and well publicized, but most people don't even know this, is when we were occupying Iraq, Iraq did not control in all but 20% of its own oil. Who controlled 80% of the oil? BP and Exxon. BP and Exxon. This is the same exact thing that you're reporting here, Ted, with this article from the Free Thought Project, is what happened in the Iraq occupation. Private interests coming in and stealing resources from a sovereign nation.
You're exactly right. This is what goes on all of the time. And the sad part about it is that this has been going on since the First World War. I mean, it just goes on and on and on, but the majority of the people don't hear about it because the mainstream media is controlled. Okay, this British exit, this Brexit campaign suspended after British lawmakers shot to death by mentally ill assailant. What in the world's going on with that, Dave? Is London going to leave the EU, or are they going to stay in? What do you think?
How convenient that this assassination took place when it did.
Yep.
That's all I got to say. And, of course, it's the lone nut gunman scenario. The British have learned to imitate our CIA. And, in fact, I wouldn't be surprised if this wasn't a CIA covert operation to begin with in combination with MI6. But the death, Joe Cox, I believe, is the representative's name who was killed. But this has stopped Brexit right in its tracks, and that's what it was designed to do. This is another false flag, and they sacrificed one of their own to get this done.
Wow. Okay, and then we have another article out of from Russia Today. It says, Israel is going to build an underground wall beneath Gaza border to thwart Hamas tunnels. Israel is planning to build a massive concrete wall which will extend below ground along the Gaza Strip border. The barrier is aimed at combating the threat posed by Hamas tunnels crossing into the country from Gaza. The wall, which will stretch along its 60-mile border around the Gaza Strip, will extend several dozen meters before the Gaza is going to be expensive. It's estimated to cost $600 million. I mean, what do you think about Gaza? I mean, I had one of Hagman's listeners contact me the other day when I told him that Gaza was basically a concentration camp, not a death camp, but a concentration camp that's being run by Israel. What do you think about Gaza? So Israel just relocate all of the civilians in Gaza and give them another place to live in Saudi Arabia or someplace else, or find them someone else to live and just take this over? This seems to be a thorn in the side of Israel. I mean, what's the solution with this, Dave?
The short answer is there is no solution, because both sides claim original territorial rights. And I don't know that a lot of the people in Gaza would want to be relocated, because they believe that's their rightful homeland, and they're engaged in whatever terrorist acts they think they need to engage in to reclaim their homeland. So they have one argument, the Israelis have another, and the Israelis trump everything with power, and they also use the national security argument. Can they relocate them? You know, can you imagine the hue and cry around the world from all the human rights activists if they did that? It's like scattering the Jews to the wind after World War II, and they coalesced in Israel to a large extent. I think you're not going to see any changes there. You did say one thing I wanted to comment, though. Isn't it interesting that Netanyahu and Trump actually have a lot in common? They both want to build walls, one above ground, one below ground, but for essentially the same reason. And I don't blame Netanyahu for engaging in this, because if we look at our own border security, how many tunnels have we found where drug cartels are bringing in drugs, and these tunnels run under the border and into the United States and empty out in places like San Diego, El Paso, and so forth. So I don't blame Netanyahu for doing this. I wish we were doing the same thing along our border. In fact, for that matter, Ted, I'm going to go extreme on you here. I've come to the conclusion, and a lot of it's based on, we have agencies like Wackenhut working for DHS that are doing snatch and release activities of OTMs, Mexicans, and most likely terrorists. We need to suspend all immigration at this point in time, all of it. We have enough terrorists in the country already, and we need to root them out. But we need to suspend immigration until such time that we can vet every single individual coming into the country. I'm not opposed to immigration, and I'm not opposed to Muslim immigration, so long as you can prove to us that you are not a national security threat and you're actually here for humanitarian reasons. And do you know that we're giving these nearly 900,000 Middle East refugees that have come to us under the refugee resettlement program, 900,000 of them have Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, workman's comp. This is a joke that we're doing this with immigrants at the expense of the American citizens.
Well, it doesn't make any sense to me either, Dave. I mean, I agree with Trump. I guess if he's going to be building a wall across these areas where they're building tunnels in, I guess he's going to have to dig a really deep footer. Apparently, they're going down several dozen meters as far as on this wall, this footer they're putting in. So I guess Trump's probably going to have to double the height of his wall if he starts at the bottom of the base. I don't know.
You know, there's one simple solution to this whole thing, too. Is just, you know, use your magnetic resonance testing, find out where the construction is, and start dropping bunker buster bombs on them. But that solves the problem right there.
That's true. That tunnel caves in pretty quick, doesn't it?
It does. That means some contractor's getting greased that doesn't need to get greased. You just need a few good bombs.
All right. NDAA, National Defense Authorization Act 2017, includes a draft for women indefinite detention of American citizens. This is from Activist Post. On Tuesday, the U.S. Senate approved a $602 billion annual defense budget that President Obama has promised to veto because the bill does not allow for the closing of the military prison at Guantanamo Bay. Well, she promised he's going to do 8 years ago. A Senate Bill 2943, the National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal 2017, passed with a vote of 85 to 13 against from the Senate. One issue the entire Congress seemed to agree on was voting against closing military bases around the world. That's crazy. They needed I'm going to repeat that. One issue the entire Congress seemed to agree on was voting against closing military bases around the world. While the Pentagon called for budget cuts, stating that the military has more space than they need, Congress refused to go along with the cuts. Another contentious area of the debate was the mandate to force women who turn 18 to register for the draft. Males are already required to within 30 days of their 18th birthday. The most horrendous part of the NDAA is that the annual military budget continues to provision which allows the indefinite detention of American citizens without a right to trial and to be tortured. On Thursday, June the 9th, Senators Mike Lee of Ohio, Utah, and Rand Paul of Kentucky, and Dianne Feinstein of California spoke on the floor of the Senate in support of an amendment which have removed the indefinite detention clause from NDAA 2117 and offer protections to American citizens weary of federal government with too much power. What the heck, Dave? I mean, tell me about what you think about all this mess.
In any other time prior to our dumbed down current state, there would have been a revolution over this.
I know.
The fact that Obama thinks that he can just go snatch people off the street, execute them, put them deep underground somewhere, lose them forever, this is unacceptable. But you know what this does, too? This is really nothing new. This is just Obama codifying what he's already done. He came out in 2011 with an executive order numbered 13603, and I've written extensively on it, and it explains a lot of what we're seeing in this current bill with the NDAA, and particularly the drafting of women. Under executive order 13603, you can be declared to have an essential occupation, and they cover this in section 801, and I remember this clearly because I've written about it so often. They can take a husband of a family, the father, and send him to one location to work for free. They call them experts, and that means they work without compensation, and that's the government's definition in 13603, not my interpretation. They define the terms, and the term basically is slave labor, the euphemism. Well, they can take the mother or the wife and send her to another location. God knows what they're planning to do with the children. Of course, we got CPS for that, but that's in 13603. This is why they want to draft women. They are trying to break up the American family. Now, I want people to hear me very clearly on this. The American family, the nuclear family, Christian-based for most of our families, they are the enemy of the New World Order, and this is why we are seeing a direct attack upon the families of the United States. And that's the biggest danger. That goes beyond indefinite detention in my book, because if you destroy the family, you destroy the country. As Amitai Etzioni once said, who was one of the modern founding fathers of sociology, he said that the family can survive without the state, but the state can never survive without the family. In other words, if you want to bring America down, destroy its family, and that's what this does.
Well, you know, Putin now is doing the exact opposite. He's trying to reunite families, giving families more tax credits. He's trying to bring women back home. They're trying to bring the church back into the family. He's trying to encourage childbirth. I mean, it's interesting to me, Dave, and we've talked about this on your show, how the USSR broke into the Soviet Union, and we all thought that Putin was some bad guy, and all of a sudden he's espousing the very Christian values that the United States once stood for, and suddenly in our country now we're bringing in jihadists in by the plane load and trying to destroy the country one step at a time and to break us into our FEMA districts, I guess, which we were told years ago is going to happen, so they can control us better. What do you think about Putin and Russia trying to fix this mess and how we're doing it, Dave? I mean, is Putin for real?
I'm confused, and let me tell you why I'm confused.
Okay.
He is former KGB turned Russian mafia. You know, when the wall came down and the Soviet Union collapsed in 1989, Putin was one of those KGB people who went from active state intelligence to mafia. And you couldn't buy anything in Russia without going through the mafia, even a pair of jeans. And he had a history of being a wife abuser. I mean, this is all well documented. He's had journalists killed who has opposed him. But something may have happened to him. And you and I have talked about this off air before, where Putin maybe had a JFK awareness moment. Because what he's doing right now is what I wish we had as leadership in our own country. He's acting with, I think, tempered reserve towards the aggression of Obama, the reckless aggression of Obama. Yet he's readied his military for war, which you'd want to have from your own leader. He has empowered his people with a 13% flat tax rate. And here in our country, the rich never pay tax. We know that. Just you and I pay tax because we have 101 million Americans out of work of working age. And Putin has also basically banned Muslim immigration unless they go through extreme vetting, which needs to happen here. So I could go on and on, but Putin is doing everything in Russia that I wished we had being done here. If I could trade Putin for Obama, I'd make that trade in a heartbeat.
So would I, Dave. All right. Well, the Democrats didn't waste much time in doing this. The Senate now is inching forward towards possible gun control action. This is out of Reuters, which is, of course, the Rothschild-owned news agency. Reuters and AP, so always take it with a grain of salt. U.S. Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut and fellow Democrats set the U.S. Capitol abuzz by talking on the Senate floor for nearly 15 straight hours to demand that Congress act on gun control. They ended their speeches before dawn. I'm sure there was nobody there besides the media, citing a Republican pledge to hold votes soon on measures to expand background checks on gun buyers and to prevent people on the U.S. terrorism watch list for buying guns. The Senate is expected to vote on Monday on four proposals. One from the Democrat, Dianne Feinstein, God, I wish she would go away, would let the government prevent terrorists from buying guns. A second from Republican John Corinth, the number two Senate Republican, would require court approval within 3 days for a government ban on an individual attempt to buy a gun. Democrats have said Corinth's plan is unworkable. Republicans say Feinstein's may harm the rights of people wrongly on terror lists. A third proposal from Democrat Murphy would expand personal background check procedures to the sales of all firearms, including those online at gun shows. A fourth proposal by Republican Senator Chuck Grassley, another guy I don't care for, would provide for law enforcement to be notified if a person investigated for terrorism in the last 5 years tries to buy a gun. Well, you know, this happened with the man who shot these folks, Mateen, in Orlando. He tried to buy guns and he tried to buy ammo from a store down there where he lives, and they called the FBI and they did nothing, Dave. So are any of these things going to do anything, or are these false flags just going to continue? I mean, what's the end game here, Dave? To get us all registered so they can do confiscation later? If they're going to do confiscation, it seems like they're not going to get it done before Obama gets out of office. Or is Obama even going to get out of office? I mean, are we going to even have an election this year?
We have two shows wrapped up in this one question.
I know.
There's a lot of meat there to what you're saying. Let me just answer your question through the side entrance here. A private party had contracted with me to go to the Republican convention and to cover it. And I was just checking out the kind of accommodations that would be available, although the person that was contracting with me was going to pay for it. And what I found out serendipitously is when I called one of the hotels, the booking agent said, oh, are you going to be part of the MoveOn.org group that just bought three more floors of reservations? And I said, what? And then she just fully told me everything that she had just booked. I would rather stand on top of the Twin Towers at 9/11 than be in Cleveland for the Republican convention. These are Soros thug soldiers. MoveOn.org, Black Lives Matter, Acorn, Ucorn, whatever you want to call these people, they are all professional agitators. They've been showing up in small numbers to Trump rallies, starting fights, trying to disrupt so the public will think, you know, it's Trump to blame and not the agitators. And they're going to be in Cleveland in huge numbers. So I turned down the contract. I'm not going. I can cover this watching TV, and I'll tell you what, I think it's going to make the 1968 Democratic Convention look like child's play. Now, to answer your question, is there going to be an election? And I have laughed at all the people who said, well, Bill Clinton will never leave office, and George Bush will never leave office, and, oh, I didn't think H.W. would ever, okay, and we've heard all this crap before. This is the first time I've seriously considered this to be a possibility, and here's why. If Trump is allowed to get into office, now he will even reach more people who will learn about free trade agreements. And I think this is the number one issue right now on the table for the globalists. Free trade agreements brought about very quickly, if you don't know what it is that your factory gets shut down because you make $20 an hour in benefits and your job goes overseas. It bankrupts your community. It causes widespread business failures like we see in places like Detroit. And then the globalists are allowed to bring these labor cheap produce products back into the country without so much as one dime of tariff being paid. And Trump wants to put a 35% tax on all reimportation of original American produced factory goods overseas. And people, let's talk about what funds Congress right now. What funds the congressional campaigns or senatorial campaigns? It's money from the corporations. And where does that come from? Because of the free trade agreements. We've been raped in this country for over 30 years. This started before NAFTA, and NAFTA just exploded. And Ross Perot said, I hear the giant sucking sound into Mexico. He was wrong because of the giant sucking sound through the entire third world that would take our jobs. They can't allow Trump to get in. So I think they're going to try, they've tried to vilify him in the media, and that didn't work. Okay, so they didn't defeat him at that level. They could still maybe pull some crap where he doesn't get the nomination, but I don't see that as a possibility no longer. But what they could do is cause such widespread violence with MoveOn.org and Black Lives Matter, and you have a terrorist attack every other day in the country, that eventually martial law is declared, and for the good of the country, we need to keep the present administration in play. And Hillary Clinton will probably be fine with that because she'll sit in the wings and say, that's fine, Barack Obama's doing the right thing, and we'll resume with the election after we have things calm down. The only thing is, things will never calm down because once they have us in lockdown, they're going to come for the guns. And by treaty, gun confiscation in this country, and this is by treaty that we have signed, gun confiscation will come with the assistance of the United Nations, and it will come with the use of foreign troops. Hence, the movie Armageddon was very prophetic.
Wow. Okay. Well, here's an interesting article from the FBI. U.S. homicide rates at a 51-year low. From Zero Hedge. It says the U.S. homicide rate in 2014, the most recent year available, was 4.5 per 100,000, the lowest since 1963. So do more crimes equal more crime? The data would seem to indicate the exact opposite. Nevertheless, President Obama called on the Senate this afternoon to rise to the moment and pass gun control, as Pew has reported in recent years. In fact, the American public is unaware that the homicide rate in the U.S. has fallen by 49% over the past 20 years. And while Pew doesn't report on it, it's also a safe bet that the public is also unaware that the homicide rates have collapsed as total gun ownership has spiked significantly. Over the recent 20-year period, the number of new guns in the U.S. that were either manufactured in the U.S. or imported to the U.S. increased 141% from 6.6 million new guns in 1994 to 16 million new guns in 2013. That means a total gross of 132 million guns were added to the U.S. population over the same time period, resulting in a 51-year low homicide rate. Dave, what do you think? Tell these folks that are listening to me that want gun control right now why that doesn't work, please.
Excuse excuse me. Well, there's always two sides to the same story. Let's flip the coin over and look at the other side. Homicide rates are up in some areas.
Chicago.
Chicago and D.C. and New York City. And why are they up there? Because these are gun-free cities.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And gun-free cities attract mass shooters. And this is why the homicide rates in these three areas are skyrocketing at record levels. But you're right. I remember first reading about this in the late 1980s. There was a county in Georgia, and I don't remember the name of the county, but they had mandated that everybody in the county must own a firearm. And their breaking and entering rates went to almost zero. Their homicide, they didn't have a homicide like for 3 years in this county. And I remember looking at that and go, well, how odd is that? And then I started thinking, well, would you break into a house where the owner could be armed? And I'm thinking, no, I'd like the path of least resistance. So it's just common sense. Isn't it interesting, though, that under Obama, the mass shooting rate in America has spiked 700%. Yet in Switzerland, where they mandate gun ownership for private citizens, they haven't had one mass shooting since Obama's taken over. What's wrong with that picture, Ted?
Well, Switzerland has to, they have to carry fully automatic machine guns in their homes, have to train every year for 3 days, men of fighting age. I mean, that's what they have to do. Now, they don't let them have a lot of ammo in their house, if any, and they'll distribute it as needed in the event of a national crisis. But these guys know how to handle fully automatic weapons, and that's why nobody ever wants to invade Switzerland, because it's just not worth the cost. First of all, it's not that big of a country to invade. It's primarily mountainous. Secondly, you know, the bloodletting is awful if they try to go in there. And third, all the criminals like to keep their money there anyhow. They don't want to knock over the country in case their country falls over. Here's something, Dave, that I've been saying for years. The mainstream media has finally admitted that mass banker suicides were likely a vast criminal conspiracy. Now, I will say this one way, a different way. The mainstream media should finally admit that the mass banker suicides were likely a vast Rothschild organized crime conspiracy. Here's what it says. Over 40 international bankers allegedly killed themselves over a two-year period in the wake of a major international scandal that implicated financial firms around the globe. However, three of these seemingly unrelated suicides seem to share common threads related to their connections to Deutsche Bank. These three banker suicides in New York, London, and Siena, Italy, took place within 17 months of each other in 2013 and 14, and what investigators labeled as a series of unrelated suicides, hogwash. In each case, the victim had a connection to a burgeoning total global banking scandal, leaving more questions than answers as to the circumstances surrounding their deaths, according to the New York Post. But all three men worked for or did business with Deutsche Bank. What do you think about these guys getting knocked off? You think they get to the point where they want to start going public, or they start questioning the narrative, or they start saying they don't want to do this anymore? Why are all these guys dying with the bankers, Dave?
Well, I think there's two things going on here, and I've covered the second one. The first one is a lot of these bankers serve their purpose, and there's nowhere for them to retire to. They retire to their books and their party revelations, and all of a sudden bad things start coming out. So when you're done with them, you have to kill them. They're disposable entities. So it is the bankers feasting on their own. But there's another element. Josh Coy, a talk show host out of Alabama, and I pursued a story, gosh, probably about a year ago now, where we found some inside sources that were telling us that ex-intelligence community patriots, in other words, people that aren't buying what's going on, were actually carrying out assassinations of key bankers. So I think there were two things going on simultaneously there. And I'm comfortable what Josh came up with is accurate, because I was able to validate some of that with one of my sources. So I do think that the bankers kill their own, but I also think there are some people who are taking out bankers. And let me be a little more specific, but I need to be a little guarded here in what I'm saying, because the source is totally confidential. There are a lot of military people who are really pissed off that they got shown the door by Obama, over 300 of them, top-level military officers, to be exact, Ted. And some of these people are participatory at some level, at least at the planning level, for what I just mentioned.
So what you're saying basically is that this whole thing is turning back on the guys that are causing it and causing these guys to get in the middle of this mess.
Yeah, and a lot of these are message killings, too. Kind of like Scalia was a message killing for the global elite and the American official that thought they could stand up to him. You know, like no climate change going through the Supreme Court. And the Scalia killing was clearly a message murder. Well, this is some of what I'm claiming is going on with the, shall we say, expatriate covert officials assassinating some key bankers. So there's two simultaneous things going on here in the banking community. It's not just one side or the other.
Wow. Here's another video from the American Mirror. It's got a whole group of Mexicans outside of Donald Trump's rally tonight, and they're flying Mexican flags, yelling that they are united, that we are united. I mean, what do you think about Mexicans that are illegals, or even Mexicans who have become American citizens, standing out in front of Trump rallies, flying Mexican flags, and causing violence? Is this really the Mexicans that are doing this, or is this MoveOn.org, or do you think it's a combination of both?
There's agitation there. The truth be known that there is some safety in numbers in these public protests, and a lot of illegals have participated in them. But largely speaking, your average immigrant that crosses the border, and I'm not talking drug cartels, I'm not talking terrorists, I'm just talking your average person that wants to come here for a better life, they prefer to remain off the radar. They don't want to get caught and sent back and have their family broken up. They want their new American lifestyle because they don't have to deal with the Sinaloas or the Zetas or these other, you know, hellish cartels that are now tied into terrorism. So I think a lot of this is not inspired by grassroots, you know, Mexican immigrants into this country. I don't think that's it at all. I think this is widespread agitation, and you said it, MoveOn.org, Black Lives Matter, Acorn, you name it. These are agitation groups of George Soros that are spurring this. Now, are there some people that will get out and fly the Mexican flag? Well, they have the right to do that. I think it's bad judgment. I think if I were to immigrate to Mexico for whatever reason, I think I'd be out there flying the Mexican flag saying, thank you for taking me in, instead of doing the opposite. So it's legal for them to do what they're doing as long as they're not promoting violence, but I think it's bad judgment.
Well, I do too, Dave. Well, here's something interesting from Zero Hedge again. The minimum wage pain continues. Hundreds to be fired at Walmart. Walmart has been overly eager to boost everyone's wage in order to appease the living wage crowd. As a result, the company has to move forward with massive firings and store closings to try and mitigate the impact on profits. Earlier this month, we also noted that Walmart is testing out drones that, when operational, will be able to carry out what once were human tasks in its large distribution centers, similar to Amazon. This effort will further position the company to be able to shed more labor and benefit the expense in the future, and benefit expenses in the future. That said, Walmart isn't waiting for the drone innovation to be coming online. The company recently announced that it will be accounting function at roughly 500 stores, mostly on the West Coast, will be eliminated, and the job responsibilities will be handled by a shared service center in Arkansas. I mean, what do you think is going to happen out west, out there in Oregon, these places that are pushing this $15 an hour minimum wage? You think in Washington, you think it's going to just keep getting worse and worse and worse with these closings, Dave?
Well, I think we're going to see that 101 million Americans of working age being out of work going to increase dramatically. The first thing that my wife used to run McDonald's here in Arizona. She was the operations manager. And we've talked about this, that they'll replace these people. These people that want higher minimum wage, they'll bring in robotics. And this is what we're seeing at Walmart. And we're going to see this across the board. We're disposable entities. And see, Ted, you're indirectly bringing up, I think, one of the most important points of the time that we live in right now. A society is based upon the fact, a successful society where most people are gainfully employed, they pay their taxes, the government balances the budget, most people balance their budget, and everyone moves on and lives happily ever after with their white picket fences around their house. But what's happening in this country is the number of out-of-work people of full-time working age that don't work full-time outnumber the people who are working full-time, and this automation revolution that's beginning to make its penetration into the American workforce is going to make hundreds of millions of people worldwide, primarily in the G20 nations, but right here at home in America, we're going to be disposable entities. We don't serve a purpose. And you have to remember, the background philosophically frankly, of a lot of the global criminal elite. It's Fabian socialism, and Fabian socialism is based on the notion that if you don't produce for society, you're not worth keeping alive. And so when we start talking about the natural progression of this is FEMA camps and mass extermination, I mean, the philosophical bent of these people is already well spoken, Ted, and I think this is a real danger that lies in the future of humanity.
I completely agree with you, Dave. Here's another interesting thing. I want to cover this real quick because I've only got a few minutes left on the show. This is from Green Meadow. It says, another vaccine documentary censored. First vax, now man-made epidemic. Yet another documentary on vaccine safety gets pulled from International Film Festival. Man-made epidemic by German filmmaker Natalie Beer has been pulled from London's East End Festival. The film had originally been chosen to premiere at the festival on the 25th of June. Now it's been pulled. The festival director decided to pull it. This is the second film dealing with vaccine safety being pulled from a film festival in a few months. Earlier this year, we mentioned that vaccine vax was pulled from the theater. Here's another one. This is from Natural Blaze. Combining multiple childhood vaccines not safe, says article in the Journal of the American Physicians and Surgeons. It says multiple childhood vaccines are often given at one visit, but contrary to the claims of the public health officials, there's evidence this practice is unsafe, writes medical research journalist Neil Miller in the summer issue of the Journal of American Physicians and Surgeons because of the deleterious side effects and increased neurological side effects on infants that have to be hospitalized after the vaccines are given to them. Dave, I've said this many, many times on your show and on my show and on Hagman's show. Vaccines are part of the power elite, pharmaceutical elite, the Rothschild Corporation through their interlocking corporate directorships, way of doing eugenics, kind of a soft kill on the population. When are the American population, when is it going to wake up, Dave, and realize how dangerous these vaccines are? What do you think?
Well, I think when enough kids develop autism, then which is skyrocketing at record rates, that's what I think. When the parents see the adverse effects of their children is the short answer. Hey, Ted, can I bring up something real quick here? Because I know we're going to run out of time, but you and I are doing a special together. And I thought it might behoove us to mention that. Are you up for that?
Let's do that. I will do that on Sunday night before your show, Dave, on the show. I'll be live again on Sunday night. We'll do the special then on the show for that, if that's okay, before your show airs.
Yeah, okay. And the other thing I wanted to mention, too, is with new people coming into the movement that support Donald Trump, and they didn't know a free trade agreement from a free agent when the campaign started, and now Trump has wakened them up, and hopefully we're assisting with this, they need social media to go to. And I'm proud to be part of Scene.life, which is the Facebook alternative. Facebook's owned by the NSA, folks. They are your enemy. No one belongs on Facebook. But Scene.life, there's no censorship. There's nothing that they'll restrict you. You can print anything you want as long as you're not threatening people, and they won't allow pornography. That's the only two restrictions. So Scene.life is where you go to sign up, completely free. No one's selling your list. You're not going to be marketed for anything. It's social media for the purposes of giving and getting information about the New World Order. That's the entire purpose, and that's why I want to encourage people to go there.
What's your website also, Dave?
It's thecommonsenseshow.com. And by the way, that special that you and I are going to talk about, or you're going to talk about on Sunday, that's already up there in ad form about the 5% off that we have. So that's going to be up there permanently, Ted, as long as the sale runs. And I forget what that is, a week. You'll have to refresh my memory. But thecommonsenseshow.com. And hopefully it remains intact and Hillary's people don't attack me again.
Well, that's the truth. I mean, nowadays, you know, seems like reality is stranger than fiction. And, you know, I tell Sharon, you know, any other decade or any other year of my life, what's happening right now with Obama and Clinton and Trump and everything else would seem strange. But strangely, it has a sense of normality to it with this Obama administration that we've had to deal with this nonsense for 7 years now. And now, finally, Dave, we got a light at the end of the tunnel if they allow us to have an election to get rid of Obama. Now, the polls are stating that Clinton is now leading Trump by about 10% in the national polls. Is that true, or is that just more obfuscation from the press?
The pollsters that work for the globalist publications, so I think you can trust them as far as you can throw them. By the way, too, if people think that's hyperbole when I said Clinton took down my website, I came out with real damning information, and the coincidence I don't buy. But you know why else I believe it, Ted? In the last 15 months, I've been featured by NPR in a critical way, and I'm talking about my website. I've been on Fox, and I've been on CNN, and they have shown screenshots of my website, and they've portrayed us as domestic terrorists. So before people say, oh, he's really jumping out there and accusing Clinton, well, okay, well, how about the mouthpieces for the globalists, too? They've already come after the Common Sense Show in a very, very public way. And by the way, I like it when they do it because my web traffic for a few days will double and triple.
Well, now, the Common Sense Show airs live on Sunday night from 7
Sunday night, right here on Global Star Radio Network, and we're on from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern, and we have some of the best guests out there.
And we, there he's, in fact, my show with Austin, or actually with Sharon, is Sunday night from 7 to 8 p.m. So if you listen to my show on Sunday night, Dave comes on immediately after me on the same Global Star Network if you hooked into the satellite. Here's one more article, Dave, and then we're going to be out of time, I think. Police receive terror alert that ISIS fighters have left Syria and are heading to France and Belgium to stage attacks. Police and anti-terrorism investigators have been alerted to the possibility that small groups of ISIS extremists have left Syria for France and Belgium with plans to stage attacks. I mean, my response is, duh. Belgium intelligence services sent a note to French counterparts about the warning that has been that was sent to police across France on Tuesday. A French security official said today, Belgium's Denri Hura tabloid reported that Belgium's anti-terror office warned police that fighters with access to weapons may have left Syria about 10 days ago for Belgium and France. A Brussels shopping mall, an American fast food chain, and police could be their targets. Dave, tell me about the arms that they're smuggling out of the Middle East into Europe now and how they're being shipped in. I mean, we saw this on the news a few months back, but I haven't seen any more about it. I mean, is that where they're getting these weapons from, or they're coming into them from the CIA, or do you know through the Operation Gladio type event?
Well, I've been told that a lot of these groups, when they come into the United States now, they're traveling arms-free, and then they're supplied once they're here. That is the most common story that I'm getting. Now, the run-of-the-mill cartels that cross our border, the Sinaloas and so forth, they do bring their arms. But the pure, straight terrorists, they're trying to blend in. They're trying to look like OTMs, other than Mexicans crossing the border, and these are ISIS people. In fact, what did the FBI say July 4th of last year? We have ISIS terror cells in every single state in the country.
Well, Dave, we've got our music playing. I want to thank you so much for being my guest today. As always, the erudite Dave Hodges, college professor, a brilliant man. Love his show. Love his website. You guys support him. Thank you so much for listening to the show, and we'll see you again live, or talk to you again live on Saturday, on Sunday night from 7 to 8 p.m. right before Dave Hodges' show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting healthmasters.com. Go to our website, sign up for our free newsletter, and just realize that God's still in control and prayer still changes things. We love you guys, and we'll talk to you again on Sunday. God bless. Thanks again, Dave.
Thanks, Dan.